Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Always pleased to have our next guest with us today. It's the executive director of the Table Community Food Center, Ramsey Hart. Ramsey, welcome back to Lake 88.
Good to be with you today, Bob.
You're covering a lot of bases with what we're talking about today. I just love the idea of this program. You are launching a new program that is focused on mental health, and it starts in the kitchen. I think this is really, really cool. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we're excited about it too. And it's new to us, but it's a program that has a strong history and background from our partner organizations, in particular, Loving Spoonful. People may be familiar with them for their work in Kingston and area. And they've been working with Queens and some other community agencies to develop this program and been running it for a few years and thought they were onto something good and wanted to share it with other organizations. And we're very honored that they reached out to the table to pilot it in a rural context and a small town context. And so it brings the magic of a community kitchen and the camaraderie and collegiality that can happen when you get people interacting around food and preparing food. And it weaves in a very thoughtfully developed and research-based program called Overcoming Stigma, which really gets at helping folks work through some of their challenges of recovering from mental health issues.
That is so cool. I mean, I know, like, for myself, I find eating food kind of be, you know, kind of stress relief at times. But one of the things that I really enjoy doing, and I find it really calms me down, is preparing food, especially things that are, you know, a little bit more complex. They require your attention and so on. It can really divert you from some of the other things that are going on in your life, even just for a little amount of time. So I know this is a multi-component, but maybe talk to that component just for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this and we know this from our work running community kitchens over the last 10 years, that when you bring people in and you create a really good, positive environment in the kitchen, whether it's the food, whether it's the preparation, or whether it's the working with other people, it does create a really nice bubble for folks to be in that's really positive. And then at the end of it, you get to sit down and enjoy a wonderful meal. And so there's an element of the nourishment that comes from the food, but also the nourishment of the company and the social interactions that you get with other folks around the table. And so, you know, we've seen that and we live that when we run our community kitchens. But it's wonderful to add a little bit more intentionality and depth and also professional skills through our facilitator to this existing community kitchen model.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I mean, sometimes cooking with another person can be a disaster if you have a small kitchen, but you know,
we're fortunate to have a very spacious kitchen with lots of space, and we'll have Joanne Edwards, who's our community chef, will be overseeing menu planning and guiding people. So we expect all the meals to turn out fabulously.
Yeah, no doubt. I was going to say, you have sort of a quarterback in your kitchen who can, delegate responsibilities to people.
Exactly.
How has this program been received in other communities where it's been run?
Well, so it's been running in Kingston for quite a while, and it's been very well received. It has strong support from those working in the mental health field. Queen's University has done a number of evaluations and shown really positive impacts on the people that are involved, that it really does give them another step forward. The sessions themselves are helpful, but then there's a lasting impact as well, where people find themselves being able to move forward with things and to find themselves in a better place after the program and being able to manage their conditions and get on with things in a new way.
Now, I think I know the answer to this, but why is the table getting involved in this? I'm guessing that you can pull from a lot of experience through other programs that you have to pretty much determine that this would be a good fit.
Yeah, well, the mission at the table is to create a healthier, more connected community. And so food is an important and essential part of a healthy community. But equally, mental health and physical health are key components there as well. So where we find the intersections of those aspects of a healthy community, we're more than happy to put some skin in the game and contribute. And also, we know that the people that we work with, I've heard people say that, you know, if you're living in poverty, it's almost synonymous with mental health challenges, stress, anxiety, depression, because living in poverty just means you have to focus so much on all those small things that so many of us take for granted. And so there is a close link between food insecurity and our core area of community food programming and mental health. So there's just all kinds of ways that this program overlaps with our core mission, and we think it's just an excellent fit for the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that there are people in our community, obviously, who are living in poverty, who use the services of the table. And when they walk through their doors, or your doors, there's that comfort, that familial feel. So a program like this in that kind of a setting, I think would just be wow, it's just going to take off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we strive for at the table, is to create that kind of atmosphere where somebody walks in and they just it feels positive. It feels somebody's there to greet them and see how they're doing, and whether it's a hot meal or accessing our community navigator service, or whether it's groceries to take home. Yeah, we want people to leave feeling like they've had a really positive experience when they visited us. And so,
So,
yeah, the community kitchen is just an extension of that and a deepening of that relationship.
tell us who it's for. Who can sign up? How do they sign up? And give us some of the logistics behind this.
Right, so we're hoping to get started this week if we have enough registrants, but we can check in with our coordinators and see if there's a possibility for bringing folks in after the first session. But it's for anyone that self-identifies or has been diagnosed with mental health issues and/or substance use issues, and that is willing to commit to the 8-week program. So we do ask people to really think about whether or not both the time of day, their capacity to engage, whether or not they feel like it's the right moment for them. And that's really about all the conditions. It doesn't have to be a formal, we don't need a medical certificate or anything like that. There's no specific mental health conditions it's for. But anybody that wants to work through that has experience with mental health and experienced some of the stigma that can go along with that, or is welcome to participate. And so they just need to contact us here at the table. If they're on email, they can email bill@thetablecfc.org or call us at 613-267-6428 and leave a message at extension 101.
Now, we know the table has been incredibly successful with other programs that you've run throughout the years, and really, like, the team that is behind it is just incredible. I know that you always share accolades and spread them around where they're supposed to be. Who is behind this program at the table? Who's helping you with it?
Well, we're really excited about this because we've got Joanne Edwards, who's one of our community chefs, who's fabulous in the kitchen. And she's going to be working with Bill James, who's somebody I think you've had on the program before. And
Absolutely.
Bill is a recently retired mental health nurse and worked for years with Lanark County Mental Health. So he's got the professional expertise in this field. And he came to us a while ago and said, "You know, I'm retiring. I'd like to get more involved in the table." And he was also interested in keeping up his mental health work. And so a light bulb went off, and I said, "Well, we've got this other thing coming up. Are you interested?" And he dove right in. And so those two will be on site. And then we also have peer facilitators coming up from Kingston who have done the program and have been trained to deliver parts of the program. So it'll be a real team effort.
Very cool. And I mean, Bill will be getting out of the dish pit from now and then, but I hope he still goes back because I know how much he loves doing that part of it.
Absolutely.
Do you feel any pressure? Because you were talking about looking at this from a rural perspective. It's been in Kingston before, and really they're trying this out. They've obviously found a wonderful location with the right people to help make it work. How do you feel about the prospects as you go forward and possibly being precedent setting for other communities?
I mean, we're really looking forward to the program. I mean, I think there are some interesting challenges that the folks in Kingston didn't really like. Transportation, they have a bus service, they have relative ease with taxis if they need them. And so even just getting the folks from the peer facilitators from Kingston to Perth was like, "Oh, right, yeah, that's an hour drive." How are we going to manage? So there's some differences. Recruitment, it may be challenging to see, can we meet the targets that they have for a sort of more medium-sized city like Kingston? Can we meet those targets and get the numbers of people enrolled that they want to see? But in terms of the actual content of the program, having reviewed the program and knowing the impact it's had, I have no concerns about it working. It's just some of the logistics around it that might be unique, and also a unique time to be coming out of the pandemic. And you know, are people ready, or are they? Some people are going to be super eager to be back in person, and some people are still a little cautious and nervous about that.
I'll just ask you for some final thoughts here. We're just running out of time. Just some final thoughts to share with our listeners on this. Maybe an appeal for people who this might be who this might be for.
Yeah, so I'd also say if you can't get in on this session, we do have a commitment. We have funding to do it for over 2 years, so we'll be running at least four of these programs over the next couple of years. We're really excited about that. So if this piques your interest, but now's not the time, or you can't get in on this first session, join us in the future. We'll be sharing some of the impacts that we're seeing from it through our social media and our email news. So make sure you're following those to be updated. And you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Please give it a shot and see if it's a good fit for you.
All right, Ramsey, I really appreciate it. One more time, if you could just give us the email address for anybody who's interested in signing up.
So just to very simple, Bill, Bill, at thetablecfc.org.
And it really sounds like something too, if you have a family member that you might think that this would be good for too, to let them know about it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great way to spread the word and help us fill the course.
Absolutely. Ramsey, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thanks for taking the time with me.
Our guest today on In Focus, Ramsey Hart, who is the executive director of the Table Community Food Center. We've been talking about this great new mental health program that starts in the kitchen that is coming up starting this week. Pretty cool. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.